are off and running, kind of, on the Buckmaster Show. We're waiting for Tucson City Councilman Paul Cunningham, who's on his way up to the basketball tournament in Las Vegas. I talked to him about 3 minutes ago. He may be in a dead zone right now, Tom Fairbanks. So
that's what I'm thinking.
But anyway, I've got some things to say at the beginning of the show anyway, so we'll see what happens in a minute or so. It is the Buckmaster Show. Tom Fairbanks with me. Tom, today's Canine Veterans Day. Didn't really know about it until I have a calendar at home that is about dogs, and it said today's Canine Veterans Day. So I just looked it up. It is observed on March 13th, a day dedicated to honoring the brave and loyal service of our furry companions in military and law enforcement.
Well, I'm all for that.
Yeah, I mean, who doesn't love dogs?
Especially, I think Paul might be calling.
Okay. Catch this. I was just going to say these remarkable canines, as we all know, play a really vital role. It is the Buckmaster Show. It is a midweek edition, Wednesday, March 13th, 2024. We're in our 14th year with our radio show. I'm into the, 36th year in Tucson media. We're in the Green Thing, Zocalo Village Studio in the Bustos Media Campus, which has 5 radio stations. Under one roof, this one's 1030 KVOI, The Voice, Tucson's only source for local news and talk. Very proud of my website. It's simple to use. There's 13 years of programs, easily archived. Content is all there for you. It's also the place where we live stream the show, and of course we piggyback the live stream from KVOI.com. For our live line, which we will utilize right now, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, we have Tucson City Councilman Paul Cunningham. Now, on the road, he's on the live line. Hey, Paul, how are you?
I haven't really left yet. We're still in Tucson. I'm at the house, so we're still home.
Good. Well, I've got a really good phone connection then with you. You are planning to go to the basketball game, but we've got a lot to unpack here. Tucson, your colleague, Tucson City Councilman Steve Kasachek, is going to end his term about a year and a half early. He has said he will resign at the end of the month. He's going to take over working with this Tucson Mosaic project. Could you fill our listeners in on a couple of things? What is the project and some of your thoughts about Steve K., Paul Cunningham?
So the Mosaic project, from what I understand, is an expansion of the Keno complex, but it's done through a series of public-private partnerships. They have a finance plan that relies on some things that doesn't rely on taxpayer money. And so every single time you see one of those, you think, okay, so, but that's all right. I think with Steve on board, it definitely will help get that project done. He's a very able-bodied project manager, and this is his history. This is in his bailiwick. He probably is the perfect guy for that position. The Keno Sports Complex has had a pretty interesting history from its inception to where it was located to good things about it, bad things about it. We adapted it and used it for the Desert Friendlies, the soccer program, which I think is really exciting. So I think this is a great fit for Steve. I understand his motivation to, try something new. We all need to try something new once in a while. And I think this is just a tremendous opportunity for Pima County and him to do something with this Mosaic project going forward. I've not been a big fan of it, only because it's not in the city limits and because I see it as a municipal endeavor and not a regional endeavor, and therefore I think a city or a town should be doing stuff like this. But that's all right. I mean, That's a philosophical issue. It will be important for Tucson if it wants to be a player in sports tourism and competitive in hosting youth tournaments, facilitating youth tournaments, and in adult tournaments. And so it's going to have its place, and it's going to have use for our community.
I'm confused about it. Does Pima County own this project? I know the supervisors voted in favor of it here last week. Who owns Tucson Mosaic?
Well, I'm not as educated in the intricacies of it. I'm sure it's some type of land lease or something like that. But the land that's being built on is county land. So those are the pieces to it. I've always identified it as a county project, and I think that's what it is. But I'd have to read like all the different agreements, and I've been busy with city stuff, so I really haven't had an opportunity to do that. What I will say is this: Steve leaves the council with an incredible legacy. He's one of the most conscientious and thoughtful public servants I've ever met. He taught me a lot. He also was a good, I consider him a good friend. And he definitely served the city well. He was responsive to his constituents. He is, but more importantly, you know, one of the things that I loved about Steve is that guy reads everything. You know, we'd get materials kind of given to us the night before a council meeting, and you know, we either go through them or you have a staff member read one and you read the other, and then you have them fill them out, and you skim through them and then try to get a really good sense and try to get somebody to explain kind of the intricacies. Steve would actually read every single line verbatim, and not only that, he'd absorb 90 to 99% of what he read. So that's one thing that makes him just a great guy. I read like all the stuff that comes out early, I read, and so I'm a little bit more prepared for it, but the stuff that comes in, you know, mid-Monday or late Sunday, it's just tough to read it all. So I respect that, because he must have been staying up till like 3 a.m. to get that done. The other piece is he went to every neighborhood meeting. He went to zoning meetings. Like, I don't go to those things. I don't want there to be a conflict between a perceived conflict of interest between me and anyone else. So I want to kind of let the process go, but he would actually go to different meetings and really have a hands-on understanding of any issue and any zoning in Ward 6. And you could trust his judgment on that. So Steve is an outstanding public servant and better, more importantly, an outstanding person. And so we're going to be, it's a big loss for the city.
All right. I looked up the Mosaic Quarter. Here's what their website says. Premier sports and entertainment-focused lifestyle center serving as a destination point for residents and tourists. Unparalleled complex brings Southern Arizona a new place to play. State-of-the-art venues offering entertainment, recreational, collegiate sports, including ice hockey, basketball, soccer, and more. Three hotels are planned, I guess, up to 14 restaurants, a million square feet of facilities, $7 billion economic impact over 40 years, and it is 100% privately funded. So I guess they're going to build an ice rink, the Iceplex. That would be the hope for the Coyote, for the Arizona Ice Cats, and for professional hockey as well, for the Roadrunners. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I hope they do. But again, that is a very pricey project with interest rates where they are, the cost of materials and labor. Steve has a heck of a challenge, but if there's anybody who could pull it off, it's him. So I think it's a great opportunity. Also, I think but it's located right on the other side of the freeway from Keno Sports Complex, is what I understand.
Okay. So, But anyway, about yeah, so that's that, and we'll talk with Steve Kay as he gets into that position for sure. We'll bring him in and talk about it. But so what is the process, Paul Cunningham, for filling the Ward 6 vacancy?
Well, for people who out there who may not remember, believe it or not, when I first got on the council, it was an appointment process.
Really?
Yeah. In 2010, I was actually appointed to the council.
Oh, yes.
Before I ran.
Yeah, now that I recall. Yeah.
So I remember it very well. Multitude of people hand in their resume. The resumes are kind of gone through. The council narrows it down to some finalists. They each have an opportunity to address the council at a single meeting, and then a vote takes. That's kind of how the process has been done traditionally. There's different variations of it, but that's how I envision this process. I think we'll have somewhat of a process there. I think we'll have a process similar to that. I think we did the same thing with we appointed Karen Lick for to fill in for Paul Durham, and that one was kind of a no-brainer because she was a caretaker of the seat and we weren't giving any specific candidate an advantage. So it'll be a pretty interesting process. I'm sure because of the raise, we're going to get a lot more applicants. That's one of the things that I think it changes in this one, is that because of the raise that the voters gave the council members, we're going to have quite a few more applicants in this process. And I think that, you know, Ward 6 is just an amazing area anyway, the central part of Tucson. They have so many different activists and neighborhood folks that are just totally involved and engaged. So I think we'll have a lot of applicants.
Yeah, I mean, that is a premier ward because it encompasses the university complex.
Yeah, well, and the Reed Park complex.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And part of downtown. And yeah, it's the central corridor. I mean, it's that ward borders every other ward.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it is the heart of Tucson. I mean, come on, I guess, Steve, there's one thing you missed, Steve. You could have come up with Ward 6, the heart of Tucson. But anyway, the bottom line is that, yeah, it'll be a really involved process. There's so many amazing people who live in there. I grew up a Ward 6 resident. My dad and mom still live right there at the same house. So really excited to see who kind of emerges. And we'll you know, the council will go to work and do its thing and try to figure out who's the best fit.
All right,
it's the time to anoint or pull point.
Let's take the mid-show break here, and then Paul Cunningham will be with us for segment two. And we've got a good phone connection with the councilman. We'll be back with him in a second. But I want to talk about the enhancements that are going on up at Mona's Danish Bakery, and these are alcoholic beverage enhancements. Now that they have the liquor license, they are utilizing it, so they've got... you can do wine, champagne, beer. They got a bunch of beers, domestic and imported. I think the imported beer is Peroni from Italy. Firestone is one of them I saw up there, which is a really good... I'm not into beer, but I've been through Pasas Robles, California, and Firestone beer is a very popular beer with many people. And so Steve and the team up at Mona's are pouring that as well. They're open right now for lunch. Their website's monasdanishbakery.com. Northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. More with Tucson City Councilman Paul Cunningham after we take our first break. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006. and the RTA is finalizing a new 20-year plan for RTA board review and approval to seek public feedback on the draft plan. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. My garden, knock on wood, is looking very good. The spring has been really nice. There's no two ways about it. I've been in town a few years, just like Tom Fairbanks. We didn't get off the bus yesterday. I know I use that a lot. I probably shouldn't use it anymore, but it does show we've been around. And I can't recall, Tom, a nicer spring. I mean, it's just about right.
Well, I think I have to agree with you, and I've got my fingers crossed that maybe it's a harbinger of a nicer summer.
Oh, wouldn't that be a pleasure? Oh, it would be delightful. And, you know, okay, weather and green things, they're kind of important because, you know, they're talking about we're talking about 13 acres of beautiful green things, which I'm sure are loving the weather. It's a great time of year to do some gardening. 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Their website's greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. Zocalo Village is their sister business located on site. Everything you need for the garden, some beautiful pottery and accessories. They have mesquite carved tables and on, just beautiful things. Jan and Jack have just done such a beautiful job with that business. Our live line for our telephone interview is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go back now to Paul Cunningham, Tucson City Councilman, and I wonder if you could clarify again, there is going to be an election. City has set a summer vote, and I see that one of our state senators, local senators, Rosanna Gabriron, has asked Chris Mays, the attorney general, if Tucson can legally go ahead with this scheduled sales tax election. So what's the deal?
Well, that's exactly what we want to find out, and that was why we called the election. We weren't sure whether or not we're even allowed to have this election. And so I think it's more of a friendly move just to kind of see how that law is interpreted and whether or not we can actually have the election. That's, I think, a big piece to this.
Is this about the is this election about the special election, if it does go forward, about transportation?
Well, I actually think this is a public safety one, and I think we're looking for a renewal of where we're at now. If we will have our options open, obviously, and we'll definitely, I mean, right now we're relying on the RTA for our transportation needs. But as people have seen, it's not going well. And if the wheels come off, then yeah, we'll have that option for a special election for transportation. But right now, I think this is more a focus on some public safety needs we have, both on the fire side and community health and wellness.
So where are we as far as what, at this point, what's your take on RTA Next? How do you feel about it?
Well, I'm caught and cold. I mean, I think that the intentions are good. I get along with the people on the board, but at the same time, it's really hard to go to taxpayers and ask them to renew something where some of our projects got left off. We're in a situation where no one seems to agree with what numbers there are out there. We're also in some conflict on whether or not some pavement modernization and some maintenance of previous projects can be put into the bond. So I think we have some of our concerns that we voiced pretty clearly. And if those can't be resolved in the final package and final product, then it's going to be really hard for me to support something like that. And that's the bottom line. Now, let me put a caveat in there and say, I'm not saying we can't get there, but I'm saying, like, right now, they're not giving me a lot to work with to advocate for the package.
Well, let me ask you, what would you like to see in there that would change your mind?
Pavement modernization is the number one piece. I think that if we've got some pavement modernization, especially for previously built RCA projects, that would help. I'd also like to see it doesn't need to be exact, fair, and square. I mean, we're the city, we're team players, so it doesn't need to be exact, fair, and square. The amount of revenue generated by each city is the amount of revenue spent in each town and city. But to some degree, we want to have our number be pretty close, you know, at least within 5-10 points of percentage points of what we're contributing. And we want that fair piece. I think we wanted weighted voting. We're willing to give that up as long as we get the right funding, or I am. I mean, so there's a number of different pieces that we'd like. But the main thing is that a lot of the emerging towns like Marana and Oro Valley, they need to build new roads and expand new corridors. We're not in that piece. We need to maintain the corridors we have. That's what we need. The issue is that your apples and oranges. You've got towns that are 10 years old, or towns that have 15,000 people, or towns that are going through 20% growth over the next few years that are going to collect significant impact fees. We're kind of locked in on where we are. We're not going to do those things. We need help with maintenance. So the question is that if you're a city resident, what would you rather have? Would you rather have a 2% sales tax that benefits people driving into Tucson, or would you like to have a 2% sales tax that allows us to continue to pave and maintain roads at a better level than we are? And my answer is you can get the best of both worlds if you put it all on one thing. Mm-hmm. But that's the issue, and that's the biggest piece right here. That's where this conflict has lied the entire time.
Well, I really appreciate you kind of laying it out there. I think that kind of encapsulates sort of the city's view, right?
Well, I mean, I'm just trying to make. No. I'm not trying to make some. There's no maneuvering here. It's just that's the issue. Mm-hmm. It isn't that tough. I mean, we're a city that's had pretty much a level population for 20 years. I mean, I think we were 480 in 98, 490. I mean, we've grown maybe 20% over the last 20 years. It's like a 1% a year. Oro Valley and Marana are going to boom over the next few years. Hopefully, we'll get a couple new towns in our region. Hopefully, at some point, we'll have a Catalina Foothills and a Vail town. We need them. We need them to form towns. It helps us on so many different levels. But in the meantime, those towns' needs are going to be different than the city of Tucson's. The symbiotic relationship the Chandlers and Goodyears have with Phoenix is a lot healthier than basically what we have is we have two pieces that naturally compete against each other, which is us and Pima, unincorporated Pima County. And as a result, we lose some, I don't know, $80, $90 million in state share revenues a year doing it.
Yeah.
So that has to change.
Yeah.
And so the best thing we can do is A, having a Pima Association governing board that has a transportation authority that allows us to govern transit, build where they're needed, freeways, and enhance corridors is important. Well, most of the corridors that need enhancing are the ones that are 50 years old, which is, you know, Speedway, Broadway, 22nd.
I hear you.
We don't need to add another freeway. We don't need another big road in Tucson. We just need to fix up the ones that we have so they have proper bike lanes and they're rubberized so there's less potholes. That's the stuff we need. That's what pavement modernization is.
Okay, we gotta go. Have a good time up at the basketball tournament. Thank you, Paul Cunningham.
Sorry for rambling. Thank you, Bill.
Bye.
Bear down.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show Midweek Edition, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. It's time for our insider travel talk on the Buckmaster Show with our travel contributor, Mr. Ryan Hansen, President and Chief Operating Officer of Bon Voyage Travel, Arizona's premier travel agency since 1976. The Bon Voyage travel experts are standing by now to create the trip of a lifetime for you. There are three Southern Arizona Bon Voyage offices, River and Campbell, Green Valley and Oro Valley, bvtravel.com, the first stop in making your travel dreams come true. Ryan, it was so good to see you and share the stage with you at the Bon Voyage Travel Show a week from last Sunday. Met a lot of listeners and fellow travelers at the show.
Tell you what, we had a tremendous turnout, Bill, to the entire event, and proof is in the pudding. People are wanting to know more about the world. Travel is back in a big way. And then you and I had a great chance, like you mentioned, to share the stage, and we had standing room only in our room. Just people very curious to hear about the different trends and topics that you and I love to chat about. We can kind of cover some of those today if you'd like.
I would like to do that. It was great to see so many people at our session. We tried to cram, and I think we did cram a lot into 20 minutes. And your presentation about some of these all-inclusives, the one you were showing at Cabo San Lucas looked so tempting.
Oh, it's unbelievable the opportunities that are just around the corner for people here in Southern Arizona. Just a short flight down to Cabo from Phoenix, nonstop. You can drive up to Phoenix and fly nonstop, or you can fly up on American from Tucson, and it's an easy layover there to get you down to either Mazatlan area or Puerto Vallarta is one stop, or Cabo San Lucas. And I love the Grand Velas Resort in Los Cabos. It's a 300-room resort experience, and if you want to relax beachside, this is a Cabo resort that actually has a swimmable beach. That's an important distinction for those of you going to Cabo. You got to know what you're getting into, because not all beaches are swimmable. So the Grand Velas is a five-star luxury resort, and everything is taken care of. So when we use that phrase all-inclusive, it means drinks. It means food. You can eat to your heart's content, and you're not going to be given a bill at the end of your meal. It's all included. And there is something, I would say, relaxing and freeing about that on a vacation experience, Bill, is when you go somewhere and you don't have to be nickel and dimed with bearing out your credit card, pay for this, pay for that. It's all included. And the Grand Velas is a fantastic property.
They have some other properties too, don't they, in Mexico?
Yes, Grand Velas is a chain, and so the Grand Velas Los Cabos is the one that we're speaking of specifically, but all over Mexico, I think there's six or eight different Grand Velas resorts, and you can see the consistency and delivery of the accommodations, the fine cuisine, the spa experience across all of their resorts is top-notch.
I was giving part of my presentation was to kind of think outside the box a little bit, Ryan. For folks thinking of that trip to Europe, maybe, oh, I don't want to do that. Oh, the long, long flight. I gave some folks a few ideas. Break it up in Iceland, which is a really, really emerging destination. Stop over in Iceland or stop over in the Azore Islands, another really growing destination. I call it Hawaii without the humidity, just as green as Hawaii, but not without all the humidity.
Right, and I don't think listeners are probably as familiar, and we saw this when you started talking about the Azores. People were lighting up because I don't think they had either heard of the Azores, not realizing that it is off the western coast of Portugal, so it is part of the Portuguese dominion there, but it is not that difficult to get to, and it's a totally different experience. That I like what you've said, where you break it up. You get more of the tropical beaches and beautiful green views and wonderful water experience, maybe on your way to that traditional European destination that everybody loves so much. But you also touched on Iceland. There is no hotter destination in the last 5 years than Iceland, the land of fire and ice, where you get black sand beaches, You've got plunge pools where it's like a polar plunge, and then you're off into the mountainous areas and you have waterfalls and greenery all around. It is truly a traveler's paradise where you can get a little bit of everything in Iceland, where it's not just one geography or one topography that you're seeing. You can see it all, and you can do it multiple ways. You could do it on land where you're getting immersed just on a land destination experience, or you can take a cruise that would be an intensive cruise where you can go circumnavigate the island of Iceland and get it all in your one-stop shop. Unpack once on the cruise and then hit all the different stops as you circumnavigate the island.
You were so busy at the event, of course, and you would. You had a lot of people, a lot of Bon Voyage fans that came up to you. Rhino, what was kind of a message you were hearing? I know that's a pretty general question, but was there some takeaway from the show this year?
Yeah, a couple of the takeaways that I felt and received were, one, people are looking for something different. Many of our travelers are experienced, and they've done the typical. They've done the Rome, Paris, London run. They've done some of the stops domestically that you would see, New York, Boston, Chicago, some of the really, you know, destinations that you don't need to read about to understand. You just know about those. So people are looking for off the beaten path, and that can take two different or even three different ways to experience. One is a more active and adventure from an expedition standpoint. So this is where you and I love to talk about the Galapagos and Antarctica. Those destinations resonated with people. Another way to see Europe differently is by river cruise. River cruise is still a very popular way to travel versus that traditional Mediterranean ocean cruise or even the Baltic cruise that a lot of people take, is you can unlock all new tiny little quaint towns in Germany and Austria and Hungary and France if you take that river cruise. So that's a different way to travel. And then the last way, Bill, is we've heard from a lot of people is, I want to stay close to home. Where's something different and unique? And there are wonderful resorts in North America that people have not necessarily heard of. The ranch experience in Montana, mm-hmm. Chesapeake Bay at the Inn at Perry Cabin. And you and I love this one, is the Canadian Rockies are definitely an underrated experience. And there's nothing like staying at the Fairmont Chateau on Lake Louise with the Canadian Rockies providing that backdrop for you. That's an all-season destination. If you want the snow, you can go there in the wintertime. If you want the warm weather activities for hiking and cycling and getting outside of the chateau along the river, along the lake, it is a tremendous summer destination as well. I know you love the Canadian Rockies, Bill.
I do. Been there many times. Chateau, Lake Louise, just such a beautiful area. And there are a lot of day trips you can do. And right there at the chateau, I was thinking, as you were talking about it, I could almost hear the hoofs, the horses right outside, because they do a wonderful kind of a day trip. I think it's about 4 hours, but they do horses, and you go up around the lake or very close. You can't actually go totally around it because of the glacier at the western end, but they do a really neat horseback ride. So it's just a great experience up at Chateau Lake Louise. It's a Fairmont property, as is their kind of the Grand Dame of Banff National Park, mm-hmm. The Chateau, the hotel at Banff Springs. A lot of people like to do both. I know we did that. We did the Banff Chateau Lake Louise and the Banff Springs on our last trip up there, and it was wonderful.
There's multiple ways, Bill, to do that as well. You can do it on your own, right? Kind of a one-off where you're traveling to these two different destinations by air, by car. But another way to think about it would be by rail, and that is the Rocky Mountaineer Rail Experience can take you through the Canadian Rockies, and it will tie in Banff, it will tie in Lake Louise and a number of other destinations in Canada that really gets you that wilderness experience by glass-domed rail car so that you can travel through the Rockies and seeing things all throughout the, you know, up, down, and every which way, the Canadian Rockies could be something for that traveler again that's maybe doesn't want to fly all the way to Europe or doesn't want to take that over-the-water flight, something relatively close to the Arizonan and the Tucsonan here could be the Canadian Rockies.
Yeah, and also you're going to see Banff National Park, and Lake Louise is part of Banff, and then that rail trip goes up to Jasper National Park. So you're seeing Banff and Jasper by rail, and you're seeing two of the premier national parks of the world, Ryan Hansen.
Oh, we love the national parks, Bill, and that it really got a surge, as you remember, in COVID. The national parks were very popular. Then it's kind of dropped off a little bit as the world opened up. So now would be a tremendous time to take advantage of national park visits. And so you take the idea that you mentioned with Banff National Park. We love Yellowstone. We've got some beautiful properties in Yellowstone that we can put you up at. And what's great about some of these national parks is you can get right into the Old Faithful Inn and stay there right inside of Yellowstone. Or if you're looking for an elevated, more luxurious experience in the Jackson area that would allow for day trips into Yellowstone, we love the Amangani right there in Jackson. And we've got great relationships with these high-end properties. So if you think of travel, Bill, you and I talk so much about cruise, and it is a big, big part of what Bon Voyage has expertise in. Don't forget, we have relationships with hoteliers all across the globe that can get you special amenities, special savings, and we know these properties well.
When we come back, one of the hottest destinations, well, not on, it's a way to travel, and it's really all over the map right now, and it's solo vacation packages, solo vacation package searches on Google shot up more than 200%, Ryan Hansen, just over the past 90 days. When we come back, Rhino, let's talk about solo travel.
I love it. It is definitely something to talk through.
All right. We'll be right back with Ryan Hansen. It's Buckmaster Midweek Edition, talking travel. Travel talk with Ryan Hansen of Bon Voyage Travel.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com. The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation improvements in the region, averaging more than $100 million in tax revenue each year. The RTA is preparing a new 20-year plan for public review prior to a May 2025 election. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We are also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Welcome back. Bill Buckmaster with you, midweek edition. This portion presented by our friends in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Only about a three-hour drive to a beautiful area of the southwest portion of New Mexico, known as, and rightfully so, the Land of Enchantment. Their website is southwestnewmexico.org. There you will find all sorts of tempting outdoor activities, some great places to stay, and great places to dine as well in historic Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. We continue now with our monthly insider travel talk. Our travel contributor is Ryan Hansen, President and Chief Operating Officer of Bon Voyage Travel. We were talking about the recent travel showcase. I think I've been involved with a few of them over the years, and this is the most successful I think I've been associated with. And I think, Ryan, you would echo that, correct?
I definitely would. We were at the Hilton El Conquistador 10 days ago, had over 40 travel partners from cruise to hoteliers to destination experts to just travel style experts. We had an expedition expert speak about the misperceptions of what exploration travel looks like and that it's available to every type of traveler, from a soft adventure to somebody who wants to hang glide, right, all the way to the hard adventure. Was well attended, well received by the people that came. And oh, by the way, we still have some exclusive offers that have about a two-week window to book. So if you missed the show and you're still interested in taking advantage of as if you attended the show to get some of those exclusive savings, you need to go to our website, bvtravel.com, and you can click on our travel show page and you can see all the different offerings. Over 40 exclusive offers, Bill, so people can still take advantage of those savings.
Wow, so there's a couple weeks more shelf life on those.
Yeah, our supplier partners love working with us, and so we can extend those offers a bit beyond just the day of the show. And so, it, as we know, Bill, it's, when you think of travel, it's not a spontaneous decision. A lot of times it takes time to marinate, to dream about, to start planning and saving and get inspired by different articles or videos or going to a travel show. So it takes time to make that purchase, and we appreciate that. Want it to be a collaborative experience with our advisors.
You know, I saw a lot of couples, of course, at the travel showcase, and I also saw a lot of people who are thinking about going solo, and I'm one of those now in that category. That is a growing area of your industry, Ryan Hansen.
So much of travel historically, Bill, has been catered to and even marketed to the couples. So that it's two-person travel, typically a married couple in so many cases. Pricing on cruises and even some tour and land experiences are double occupancy. And so it makes that person feel that they're either not welcome, not wanted, or not priced for someone who says, well, I want to travel alone. I may not be in the same life stage where I have a companion to travel with me, or my companion in life doesn't want to travel. That shouldn't inhibit one from getting out and seeing the world. And so we're seeing solo travel explode across the market for a couple of reasons. One, Bill, I think people are looking to kind of maybe discover themselves again, and it fosters a little bit of unbridled discovery and self-reflection and introspection, for that matter. And as a solo traveler, you've got a level of spontaneity and flexibility as you travel. You can change and alter your plans based on maybe a serendipitous encounter or wanting to dive a little deeper into a local culture. You can do that. You can get a better connection sometimes with the local inhabitants, either through food or dance or music or art. As a solo traveler, that opportunity is there for you. But Bill, we're also seeing solo travelers like to connect with the solo traveler community. And so maybe they don't want to just travel the world all by themselves. They like to meet other solo travelers. And that's what we're seeing that we can assist with, is putting you in on cruise ships that foster this from shore excursions to on-ship activities, and also some of our tour operators, the guided vacation space for solo travelers, where you can travel and meet other like-minded people as yourself, as a solo traveler, Bill. I think any and all of those kind of resonates with many of our listeners and people that came to the show as well.
Yeah, I know that some of the cruise lines now are really going after this market.
They're going after the market finally in a pricing standpoint. They're recognizing that as a solo traveler wanting to stay in a stateroom, I shouldn't have to pay for me and this mysterious guest that never shows up. So I end up paying twice.
The extra bed, right?
Right, the extra bed and the food that I'm not going to consume. The cruise lines have finally figured out that they can price and actually purpose build staterooms that are geared towards a solo traveler. There's no need for a double vanity, so you can use that space more thoughtfully instead of a double vanity in the bathroom. And then you can price it accordingly. That way the solo traveler is not augmenting other people's experiences. They're just paying for themselves. And we have a number of partners all the way from the contemporary experience on a Norwegian or a Royal Caribbean, all the way up through to celebrity and into the luxury space is where I would really say we have the most expertise and the most opportunity for savings for a solo traveler is going to be in the luxury space.
Hey, there's a big change coming through with security and TSA. They're going to be unveiling the first self-service TSA operation up in Las Vegas at Harry Reid International Airport.
Really interesting to see how this is going to go, right, Bill? We, from 9/11 on, security has become a very important part of travel, as it should and it needs to be. But as you know, efficiency at an airport is extremely important, and saving a minute, saving 2 minutes, making it more easy for travelers to transit through these checkpoints is a global effort. And the TSA here in the United States is really looking towards kind of a futuristic way to process travelers and baggage. And boy, isn't that interesting to think. A self-service checkout line at the grocery store is now turning into potentially, and not potentially, we will see it this year at Harry Reid International Airport in Las Vegas, where you can go through what could be a more efficient and more expedited way through security, but it would be through a self-service line. It could be a little bit more invasive from the technology side of things. I don't think it's going to be physically invasive, but from a camera and technology standpoint, it could be. But look for that in your future. That could be something that we're seeing enhance your travels, the use of technology, right? Digital passports are on the way. Everyone now is so used to having their boarding pass downloaded to their smartphone. That's not a new thing. We're seeing visas come through QR codes and your smartphone. And guess what? Here we go. Self-service TSA lines at airports are coming to an airport near you.
I kind of think it might resemble when you folks that have the international plan, the GOES plan, the kiosks when you arrive at customs, and if you've got that plan, they take a picture and the whole deal, and it's pretty quick.
Yeah, we're seeing that internationally a lot, Bill, with facial recognition technology, and they're not even accepting a boarding pass. They're just checking your facial recognition.
Yeah.
There's also TSA PreCheck. There's kind of a TSA PreCheck on steroids called Clear, and that's a retinal scan that people can pay for now. It's not available in Tucson just yet. But at your major airports and gateways across the country, Clear is another option if you want to get through security a little bit faster, because they know you by your retina, which is obviously like your fingerprint on your eye. So it's unique to you, and that can help you expedite your security screening at an airport.
All right, Rhino, about 10 seconds, bvtravel.com. And again, those travel showcase specials still are in effect for a week or two.
Take advantage. Jump on it now. We only have about another week for those exclusives. So jump on that website.
Always a pleasure, Ryan Hansen. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Bill. Great talking to you.
All right. Ryan Hansen with our monthly travel talk segment. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of Mr. Hansen and Mr. Fairbanks, Tom Fairbanks, I'm Mr. Buckmaster. Bill, wishing everybody well.